That's, when you listen to the words about that, it's like Peter's account, you know, of him reliving it and sharing it. Can you imagine the fear that they were going through, the disciples? I mean, the song says it, but it's so true. They were fearful. They went and hid practically because they didn't know if they got Jesus, they sure come get them. And but they did not. And Jesus is alive. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I know about me. I feel a whole lot more comfortable knowing Jesus is alive. Amen. What can you do with a resurrected man? You can't kill him. And he's God Almighty. You can't stop him. And he lives inside you. He's for you. He's not against you. He's got something for us to do. Glory. Jeff, he's got a plan for us. Come on, come on, come on. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Glory.
You are a loser.
Devil's a loser. Yeah. Let's praise God. Let's praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Yeah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The tomb is empty, and the devil can't do anything about it. He defeated hell, death, and the grave.
I'm not going to back up on you no more, Jesus. I'm not backing up no more.
Amen.
I'm not backing up no more.
Amen. Glory to God. And we all say amen to that. We all say amen to that. We will not back up on you anymore.
Thank you.
Woo!
Glory, hallelujah.
I feel good all over more than anywhere else. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I've been waiting on that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's good to praise God. It's good not to be ashamed of the gospel. Because it's the power of God unto salvation. Praise, we read that in prayer a while ago. Praise stops the enemy. If you're under attack, that is the time to praise God the most. I didn't say complain like I do sometimes. Praise Him the most. Praise Him the most. You'll start out in faith. Before you know it, you're going to have some goosebumps. Just keep going forward. The enemy has to stop when you're praising. Psalms 8 and Psalms 9. Read that. It talks about praise being a mighty weapon that you have coming out of your heart and out of your mouth. In the name of Jesus, we just praise God. The tomb is empty. And just begin to start going in that. And the Holy Spirit is taking you places. Oh, man. That you never could dream about getting to. And you feel good. Everybody say, I feel good.
I feel good.
Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jeff, for your obedience. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Okay.
This is just a little thing.
It's okay.
Like, why do people raise their hands in church? And the reply was, when a little child wants their father to hold them, what does he do? He raises his hand.
I love it. I love it, buddy.
And man, I just think every time I raise my hands, it's just like the Father's
Thank
picking
you, Father.
Me up.
Hold me.
The Father's
Hold me,
picking
Daddy.
Me up.
That's beautiful. That is so pretty. Amen. We'll all walk around with our arms up in the air now because we want God to carry us and not we don't have to walk. That's precious. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. I have one little thing here I want to read to you. It's short. And you might want to write this down because it's a good little quote. If God didn't send Jesus to condemn the world, I doubt if he sent you. Might want to write that down. That's a good one. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. Man, that was good. God, we thank you that we have the freedom and the liberty just to worship you without hindrance to really thank you for what you have done for us and what you're doing. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said amen. Amen. Okay. Let's go in the Bibles to the book of Mark. And we'll go to chapter 14. Hallelujah. Too far. Mark 14. I want to just run down some things that as we organize, and I like to do that to get a track to run on. But if you have your Bibles, you might want to look at your Bibles because it won't be on the screen right at this point in time, Virgil, because we're just going to do the captions. Mark 14, my Bible has, your Bible may not have a caption above that. But in Mark 14, beginning with verse 1, the caption right above this little group of scriptures says, the plot to kill Jesus. So what we're going to do is read these captions right on down here. And it gets things in order like they happened. And we won't be confused. This is how it was. This is what we're reading out of, okay? So we start out with in John 14. This is talking about the Passion Week. This is talking about what Jesus endured, what happened that week. And a lot of miracles happened that week. They had the Last Supper. They had all sorts of things going on. They had the prayer in the garden. And then they went out and the soldiers came and Judas came and kissed Jesus on the cheek. And do you know what Jesus said to him? He had to ask him a question. You know what it was? What am I to do with you, friend? He used friend, which is a covenant word. They're supposed to be brothers. Amen? I mean, he's the Lord, but they were together. But now he's not. So, but if that'll just pierce you when you think about it. And I'm sure when Judas heard that, he really got convicted and said, you know, hey. And you know what happened to Judas? Did anybody know what happened to Judas? He destroyed himself. He tried to get over it, throw the money back, but that just won't wash. He turned his back. He betrayed. It's one thing to deny. It's another thing to betray. Yeah. Betray means you broke a trust. You can deny, say, no, I'm not going to cook supper for you tonight. Where's Ann when I need her? Anyway. I'm in trouble already. So, it says here, first thing we want to write, and you might want to just jot these down in an order, and it'll help you read or think about as you pray this week. And I pray that you do put out some effort to make this an extra special week of prayer and just time to meditate on what Jesus did. And this will help you stay on that track. And of course, it's in all four of the Gospels, but Mark here is pretty concise. So, in beginning with chapter 14, it says, the plot to kill Jesus. Would you like to know about it? Well, read the rest of the book. It's right there. Boom, boom, boom. Okay? And then it goes on to say, a woman anoints Jesus' body. It's right down here. Then the next thing that happens is Judas plans to betray Jesus. Have I got that? Then the next thing is preparations for Passover. Yeah. Then the next thing is Jesus knows who will betray him. How do you know that, Peggy? He's God. He's God. Then the next thing is the Lord's Supper. If you know something about the Lord's Supper and what happened that night, a lot of things happened right there. Then the next thing is Jesus predicts Peter's denial. Just that song we just listened to. And there it says, I denied him three times. That's Peter singing that song. And reliving this. And now he's locked himself in a room. All the The doors were shut. The windows are closed. The lights are out. And he's in fear and trembling, wondering what's going to happen. How would you feel? How would I feel if I denied him three times? Now, if you'll read that and research that word a little bit, the word deny there means, it doesn't just mean, well, I don't really know him. No, it was more serious and more accurate to be just an outright denial. I didn't know. I don't know him. And Jesus, the cock crowed how many times? Three times. And Jesus turned and looked at him. Peggy, can you imagine the eyes? He looked at him. I can't wait to see his eyes. Amen. I can't wait to see him, period. Glory to God. But Jesus knew about it, quoted and told him what was going to happen. And guess what? It did happen, just like he said. In the beginning of verse 32, it says, Jesus prays in Gethsemane. Well, we know what happened there. He prayed till blood came out of his skin. Amen? All right, the next thing, Judas betrays Jesus with a kiss. And the next caption in that same chapter is the trial by the Jewish council, which was a joke. It was a mock trial. It was a mob. Wasn't anything correct about it. And you just have to admit, even though we're standing over here on this side of the world, or looking back and wondering, as more or less civilized, anybody here civilized? We're all civilized, right? Looking back and saying, what in the world did Jesus do to cause them to kill him? Really nothing. He just said something. Religion's what killed him. It really wasn't the Romans. Pilate set him free. But he said, okay, what do y'all want? You want Barabbas or you want him? Let Barabbas go. We want him. That's religion. That's how mean religious spirits can be. Amen. They'll make you do things that you're not supposed to. You know, it's just nothing scriptural about it. And love is way out of the picture of it. So anyway, we have here the trial before Pilate is what begins in chapter 15. But anyway, we'll stop there. And let's go to now, let's read on through 15. The trial before Pilate. And then the caption in still chapter 15 is Jesus is mocked and crucified. Might want to spend some time there this week. Next thing, the next caption is Jesus dies. Jesus died. If you don't know that he died, you'll never know he lived again. Amen? Jesus died. And there's a scripture in Hebrews chapter 1 that the Father says, again, you will be a son to me. Which means they were separated. Jesus became sin. He didn't sin. He was made to be sin. And the Father and sin do not get along. You can't put them together. So the Father turned his back on Jesus so that sin could take over. He would become punished for us. Everybody say for me. He was punished for me. He's punished for my sin. Did he deserve it? No. When he was on the cross, he's just as innocent the day he was 33 on that cross as he was the day of the night that he was born. Amen. He was. So, here we go. Jesus dies. And the next thing, Jesus is buried. A lot of good things to learn about this. Joseph of Arimathea come. They get his body down. And I don't know. But Joseph of Arimathea, he asked for the body. It's been speculated that Nicodemus helped him do that, get the body down. We'll know that when you see Nicodemus in heaven, you can ask him, okay? And then chapter 16 in Mark, the caption is this, Jesus' resurrection. That's where we are today. He's alive. But just think about, I want us to put yourself in the place of the disciples and Jesus, all that transferred in that really that one night. They had Passover, which it was the Passover. They had to do the Passover. It was a very special Passover time. They did all that, and then all the rest falls into place. Judas betrays him. They go to pray. And in the garden, Judas and the soldiers come. By the way, how much money did Judas get for betraying? Huh? 30 pieces of silver. The price of a normal, average slave. My God, Susan. Let me tell you, Jesus ain't cheap. And what he paid for us was not cheap. It cost him everything. Not just the physical part, but the separation from the Father. That's why he cried out, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" Because at that time, there was a shift. And Jesus went to hell for us. They had a party for a little while, but it didn't last long. One of the songs we used to sing or hear about was, "He shook hell's gates and came up out of there." Amen. Then he went to Abraham's bosom, preached to them. Abraham and Isaac and all that bunch got saved, came up out of the ground, came up out of their tombs as well. Boy, there's a bunch of empty graveyards around there after all that's going on. Amen. And you just wait till the rapture happens. There's going to be empty holes in every cemetery around him. Hallelujah be to God, because our body's coming up. Ain't no grave, right, Wanda? She used to sing that song, buddy. She did a great job. Ain't no grave going to hold my body down. Let's say it out loud. Ain't no grave going to hold my body down. Amen. Why? Because resurrection power's in you. Jesus is in you. He came out of the grave. You come out of the grave. Glory be to God. We are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. Makes you want to charge hell with a water pistol, don't it? We got some good things going on. Let's take account of that. Let's apply that to our life every day. Because we're being attacked all the time. But the greater one is in us. And we do have the fight of faith. So what do? We speak the word of God. We speak faith. And the devil has to flee. We have a shield of faith that quenches every fiery dart of the wicked one. And the Bible says this too about Jesus' death. I personally do not believe that they could have taken him. I mean, I just don't think they could have. Well, in fact, the Bible says he could have called 10,000 angels and been gone. But the Bible says he gave his life. He laid down his weapon. He laid down everything and became conformed to death like that. But 3 days later, hey, y'all, Sunday's on the way for all of us. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I get excited about this. But anyway, let's go now to, chapter 16 talks about Jesus' resurrection. So that'll give you a little bit of working order of how things fell into place during that night, that day and that night and such. And, so let's go to John chapter 20, please. And again, it has the captions at the top. Jesus is resurrected. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Jesus appears to his disciples. Jesus appears to Thomas. And another miraculous catch of fish. So anyway, that's all in the book of John. Okay. Are we there yet? Peter 20, let's start with verse 1, please. Okay, we're going to read just a little bit. This is an important time to read because, you know, I don't care how skilled you are. None of us can compete with the Word of God. And so it's the Word, and we read it, and let's receive the Word, and let it change us, and let faith come alive in us, because that's what it's designed to do. Okay, this is John chapter 20, and beginning with verse 1. The first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre and sees a stone rolled away from the sepulchre. Pause. Just keep that. That's fine. That's fine. That's fine. But just think about what happened. Mary Magdalene coming in the dark early in the morning. We'll say about 4 in the morning. Still dark. They didn't have daylight saving time. So she's coming to finish what they had begun to prepare his body. And when she gets there, of all things, the stones rolled away. She didn't know what was going to happen. She wasn't expecting this. Jesus don't tell us everything, but most things. He says, I'm going to rise up. I'm coming out of there. I'm going to be resurrected. He didn't say anything about a stone. They saw it before. But who's going to move it? The first day of the week. Now, what day is that? Sunday. That's why we worship on Sunday. Amen. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and sees a stone taken away from the sepulchre. Verse 2. Then she runs and cometh to Simon Peter, just like the song, and unto the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and that's John, said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. We know not where they have laid him. So, what's she supposed to think? Just what she's saying. She did not know about a resurrection. She'd never seen a resurrection. Verse 3. Peter, therefore, went forth, and that other disciple, being John, the writer of the book here, and came to the sepulchre. Verse 4. So they ran both together, and the other disciple, John is just here, I think, just telling Peter, I'm faster than you are. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre, verse 5. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying. Can you get a glimpse of this? Yet went he not in. King James, hallelujah. So he didn't go in. Verse 6. Then comes Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre. Just like Simon Peter. He's just like a Bramah bull. Amen. He just came in and went into the sepulchre and sees the linen clothes lying in there. Verse 7. And the napkin, that's what you put over the face when they're preparing the body. The napkin is the last thing they do. That was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Now, there's a teaching that has something to do with tradition. If you were in a regular tradition, a Jewish home, and you were eating a meal, you have a napkin, but you get called away from the meal. And I don't want to get this backwards, but anyway, if you fold your napkin and leave, that means you're coming back. But if you crumple up the napkin and set it to the side, it means you're done. You're finished. So, it was wrapped together in a place by itself, right there. He's coming back, y'all. He's coming back. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 8. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. Everybody say, John believed. Verse 9. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Now, he had told them more than once that he was going to, but here's a little different, that he must rise again from the dead. Verse 10. You know, they had seen Jesus get out of all sorts of things. They got him one night and took him out to the brow of the cliff, and they were going to push him over. And the Bible said he just turned and walked right through them. So nobody could take his life. His time wasn't ready. And neither is yours. The devil ain't going to hold me down. Amen. Then the disciples went away again to their own home. Y'all got that part? Remember the song. Verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. Verse 12. And seeth two angels in white sitting. The one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Verse 13. And they said to her, who's speaking now? The angels. They said, angels can talk? You better believe they can talk. And they said to her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Verse 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. In other words, didn't know who he was. 15, please. Jesus said to her, now this is very special to me, and I pray it gets very special to you. Jesus said to her, woman, why weepest thou? Why are you crying? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, because she didn't recognize him, said to him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, or if you have taken him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away. 16, please. Can you put yourself there? Jesus said to her, now this is the whole ball of wax right here, y'all. Jesus said to her, Mary. It wasn't the gardener's voice. He'd heard that voice. She'd heard that voice before. She'd heard him call her name many times. Mary. This puts chills up my spine because he knows your name too. He'll call your name. He's probably already called your name. You've heard it before. Then said Jesus unto her, now Jesus said unto her, Mary, she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. I can just see this happening. Where did you put him, sir? Why are you weeping? Tell me where you put him, I'll take care of it. Mary? On the count of three, just say your name and pretend that he's speaking to you. Okay? One, two, three. Jimmy. Wow. Verse 17. Jesus said to her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, say unto them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father and to God and to my God and your God. Verse 18. So he has not yet ascended, so he was not to be touched by her. Okay? But this is significant. It does show that Jesus didn't mind people touching him when he was living up just before all this. Even the little kids, the disciples tried to keep the kids away from Jesus. Keep them away. He don't want to put up with them. He said, that's what the kingdom of God is supposed to be like. Send them to me. And he held them, prayed for them. He touches people. And he's going to touch us again. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. Boy, this is a shock. Wow. And that he had spoken these things to her. Verse 19. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus into the midst of them and said unto them, peace be with you. So, he's coming back. He came back to them. There's much business, much to be done. Pentecost is 50 days away. That's when the church was born, on the day of Pentecost, actually. But he said, guys, I'm alive. Look at my hands. Thomas, come here, you knucklehead. Well, that'd be my name. Come here. Put your hand in my side. Wow. So, Jesus is the real thing. And he loves you. He paid the price. I pray that this be a very significant Holy Week for all of us, that we understand what took place. We understand the cost. We understand what happened. We understand the magnificence of his resurrection, he'll never die again. And neither will you if you're born again. Your body will lay down maybe, but you're coming back to get it. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's all stand up, please. Y'all been so good tonight. Somebody say yay, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You need to brag on yourself every once in a while. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this night. And Lord, thank you for this week. Lord, reveal the passion to us this week as we think about what you did. And we think about, because you did, we have a future. And Lord, we give you all the praise for this in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Tell somebody you love them before you go. See Wednesday night, 7 o'clock.